Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Doing well? Keeping warm? Yeah? If you're here for the first time, we are blessed to have you. Blessings on you. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine this week. He lives in Abbotsford. And he asked me how cold it was. And I told him it's minus 25, but it feels like a minus 100. And then he said, yeah, us, it's minus, it's plus 7. And he says, and he asked me the question, he says, do people go to church when it's that cold? I say, yeah, we're troopers, you know. We are troopers. So amazing to see you here. Blessings on you. So I will ask you to stand. We'll place ourselves before the Lord. I invite you to stretch your hand before you as a symbol of your openness to God, to what He wants to say to you. Father God, we thank you so much for your presence. And as we sang this morning that you're the God of the impossible, you are aware of all the struggles that we face in our relationships and our bodies and maybe work and so on. We want to trust in you. We want to rely on you. We want to turn to you when it comes to challenges we face. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you that we can anchor ourselves in you, that you are the sovereign God, a God is alive and well. And so be glorified as we turn to you in our situations. And Father, we come before you and we place ourselves before your word. I pray that you would help me to communicate what you've placed in my heart. And I just pray that you would go beyond me and that you would speak to your people. So we choose to open our hearts up. We choose to say yes to what you want to say. Like we want to be like the Bereans. We want to look to see what your word has to say. And so, Father, be glorified as we unpack the message this morning. And all the people said, amen. You may grab a seat. So we've been talking in the last little while on Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, and that was kind of the key anchored verse for this series. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. One of the things that we need to understand is Paul was talking to the church. He wasn't talking to leaders. Yes, he was, but not only to them. He wasn't talking to a selected few. He was talking to the body. That the body is invited and called to live in the Spirit and walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I believe happens in our lives, or what we feed ourselves with, or what crosses our mind, is we think it's just for a selected few. We think that, oh, for the Apostle Paul to live in the Spirit and to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, that was good for him, but I don't think this can happen to me. And I really believe it's important to realize that this invitation to live in the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit is for me and you. Can you say to your neighbor, it's for you too? And it's not weird. When we look at this, it's not weird. What is weird is someone that puts pickles on their peanut butter toast. That's weird. I got a brother-in-law that puts ketchup on his beautiful steak. That's weird, right? But sometimes we think that living in the Spirit and walking in step with the Holy Spirit is so complicated and so weird, and that it's not for me because I don't understand it. And so what I'd like to do this morning, I'd like to help you to navigate through that so that you would know and believe that the Spirit wants to lead you. And the Spirit wants to empower you to do His will. And that's me and you. It's like I said, it's not just for leadership. It's not just for someone that have done a lot of studies. I believe it's for every believer. Amen? And so let's take a look at that this morning. And so when it comes to living in the Spirit, what does it mean? It talks about being influenced by the Spirit. To live in step with the Holy Spirit and to live by the Spirit, it's to be under His influence. Makes sense, right? Who's leading you? And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not get drunk, that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are under another influence, right? And so you will step in what God wants you to step in if you are under His influence. So when it comes to living in the Spirit, what it really means is to be under His influence. And so that's what we want. We want to be under his influence. But again, it's not mystical. It's not just for a selected few. It's not it's not linked to this guy on YouTube or a guy that has a mega church. I really believe it's for me and you. And so the reality is, how do we see that happen? Is that I need to hang out with God. Can you say that to your neighbor? I need to hang out with God. And I know you know this, but it's so important for us to realize that we might think we understand it. And the reality is, you cannot get wet if you don't let water touch you. Right? You might like the concept of it. You might like the concept of a shower. Huh, that's a good idea. You can wash yourself. That's pretty good. Oh yeah, I don't have any problem with it. But you never go under the faucet, right? And so when it comes to walking in the Spirit, I need to realize it's based on taking time with him. And again, I have to say that sometimes we don't, because we complicated it. And we think that we got to spend the next first 3 hours of our morning in prayer, and because we think of that standard, or we read this book, or we hear about this testimony, and then we look at it, and we complicate it so much, and we don't think that I can connect with God. I believe that we got to start somewhere, and it doesn't have to be complicated. Like, God knows you. God doesn't want you to come into a trance. God doesn't want you to become someone else. He just wants you to have a time with him. Like, I remember a few weeks ago, I got up, I made my tea. I didn't even think about praying. I just sat in my chair, looked outside, drinking my tea. And then his presence was there. And I got this thought into my heart, and then I started to think about this thought, and then I kind of had a better picture. My wife comes in the living room, and I explained to her, and we both are crying because we felt that God was speaking to us. And it wasn't complicated. It wasn't weird. It was not something that it was forced. It just happened normally and organically. And it's not based on eloquence or having the right words or having a formula. It's about practical. It's not mystical. It's about connecting with God. And we find in Scripture that if we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. And there's this example that we find of Joshua in Exodus. Beautiful picture. Exodus 33, verse 11. What a great picture. And we see the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but this young Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. I don't know if Joshua knew that he was going to be the next in command, but what he did, Moses came out and he stayed a little longer. He stayed a little longer, and I believe this was this dialogue with God, this heart that was open, and this heart that wanted to be with God. So that's for all of us, right? It's for all of us the door is open to all of us to do that. And again, it can be 15 minutes before you start your day, where you say, God, me and you. Or before you go to bed, before you're brushing your teeth and you say, hey, I'm going to go to bed 15 minutes later, I'm just going to connect with God. It's about connecting. And as you connect with God, as you take time in his presence, something happens inside of you. First of all, you'll experience him. Second, there's going to be a transformation that will start because he will influence you. And so when it comes to walking in the Spirit, or when it comes to living in the Spirit, it starts very simply. It's just to connect with God. Well, we know that relationships need connection, right? And we know there's some days that we can connect more with our loved ones than other days, right? But we understand that if I want to have a healthy marriage, I've got to spend time with my wife. Would you agree? I've got to have this connection, right? It's like when we go on holidays, we're filling our love bank, we're more together, we walk together. And I think it prepares us when we do life, because sometimes it's very tight. Life is busy. Like yesterday, she had a busy day. I was working on the message. She left. And then as she left, she kissed me, looked into the eyes, and she went. And that was an amazing moment, right? But it has to be more than that. But there's sometimes that's what it is. And again, what I'm telling you, there's no formulas. It's about connecting with God. And sometimes we can connect more with God than other times, but it's important to realize that if we want to have a healthy relationship, there needs to be that connection. If I don't have this connection, then what happens is my love bank gets lower, and I don't want to be bankrupt, because in a crisis, I will need that love bank. Because crises happen, right? If you don't have a love bank with your wife, when a crisis comes, something else will come out. All the things that you're upset with, all the things that were brewing in your heart, and it will come out. But if you build a relationship with your wife with transparency, honesty, walking together, loving each other, growing together, when things get tough, it's way easier. I'm not saying that you just go through with your eyes closed, but it's a lot easier because you build something with your partner, with your wife, or with your husband, right? And so it's the same thing when it comes to God. We've got to build a relationship with Him. And as we build a relationship, it prepares us to what He has in store. Would you agree? But it's way more than just to prepare for what He has in store. It's to be with Him. And when we are with Him, He will influence us. And we want to see that in our lives. How do you do this? It's very simple. You verbalize your desire for Him. Anyone can do that. God, I desire you in my life. Whatever the language you speak, right? I want you in my life. I love you. And I've heard some people say, you can't say to God you love Him. Why not? When my kids say to me when they were younger, I love you, Dad, did I want them to be perfect? Hey, kid, get your act together. Follow everything I've demanded you to follow. And then come and say to me, I love you. No. When they came and they gave and they said to me, I love you, Dad, they have some of me in their lives. So it's not going to be perfect, right? And so I accept their love even though it's not perfect. And we have all kind of stuff we believe that prevents us of connecting with God. And I shared a few Sundays ago, and I'll say it again, the biggest spiritual battle that you will ever face in your life, it's to say yes to God's presence or to be in God's presence. Everything, distraction, opposition, is all about for you not to connect. That's the biggest battle that you will ever face. And the biggest enemy is distraction. And so when you see your need and you connect with God and you just say, God, I love you, I want you in my life, can you fill me up with your spirit? Just say that. Fill me up with your spirit. Acknowledging that you need Him. I need your spirit in my life, Lord. I can't do it on my own. I can't follow your ways on my own. I can't do what I'm called to do on my own. Can you fill me? Can you renew me? Can you revive me? Come and wash over me like the wave that hits the shore. I really need you. Hey, it took me how long? 10 seconds? And then I stayed there a little longer. I can be even quiet, or I can throw a bit of worship. Think about it. Two worship songs, 6 minutes. Six minutes, you take the time to connect and worship God. Changes your focus. It renews you in the inside. It refreshes you as much as it's all about God, but the overflowing of that or the blessing of that, the bonus of that, is that you feel renewed. It doesn't have to be hours. If you have hours, let it be hours. But don't think that it has to be hours for you to connect with God. When you read the Bible, again, you might read a chapter. Like I told you before, like I was trying to read 10 chapters a day. So I was reading 10 chapters a day, but there was no interaction with God. I was just reading information. I was going through my plan, and there's nothing wrong to follow a plan. But you go through this reading, but there's no, God, what are you telling me? You take the word of God. You take, I don't know, Ephesians or Mark. If you've never really read the Bible, you start with Mark. It's the easiest gospel. And as you read it and you say, God, what do you want to tell me in this? It's going to be amazing what the Holy Spirit will prop up. And so when I read God's word now, it's not under the burden of reading a text to fulfill a certain agenda or to appease my conscience. It's to have a dialogue with God. And when you have a dialogue with God, as you read God's word, God, what are you telling me? What are you saying when it comes to my behavior, when it comes to your character, when it comes to how I should treat others, or when it comes to my thought process and all that? And then God's going to speak to you. Oh, and then you can write it down. I've struggled with journaling. How many of you know what I mean? I'm more a winger than a writer. Like John Friesen, he writes, I wing it. I spend some time with God, I worship. And when it's really, really like, really intense, then I'm gonna write it down. I wish I would be able, I tried so hard to journal every day. Ah, but I do it for a while and then I drop off the wagon. And I realize, hey, there's no method. You see, there's no, we're wired differently. What's the most important thing is to connect with God. You got to get wet. You got to let the water touch you. Otherwise, you don't get wet, right? It could be a great concept. You might say, Pastor, I agree with all what you're saying, but you don't get wet. So there's nothing that happens, right? And so we want to connect with God. Rest in Him for a bit. Take a few breathers in His presence. Ah, God, me and you. I don't come to you as a pastor. I don't come to you as a citizen, as a husband, as a father. I come to you as a son. Oh. You know how it releases me to come to God as a son? And there's always things, right? Praying for this, praying for this need, that need, whatever. And then you just come as a son and you say, me and you, Abba. Like, have you ever been in a time that you are with someone, you don't talk a lot, but it's pretty cool? Like me and my wife, when we drive, we talk. But sometimes we just are still and we look at each other. She'll put her hand, I always have the hand on the stick shift, but with a Dodge Ram, it's kind of just a knob, so it's kind of weird, you know? But anyway, I can't drive on the knob. So then with the Escape, at least we like, you know, and then we look at each other. It's kind of cool. Don't have to say too much. Hanging with God is like that. Sometimes you don't have nothing too much to say, but you're just with Him. Hey, it really, really works, guys. Take some time, and you know, mine goes 100 miles per kilometers per hour, and then you say, okay, no, God, it's me and Father. And you develop this lifestyle. It's amazing. So when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, or when it comes to living in the Spirit and walking in step with the Holy Spirit, it's not complicated. It's very organic. It's you and Him. And like I said, we're all wired differently, right? But we want to spend time with Him. Secondly, when we live by the Spirit, we are aware that His presence and His desire is to assist us. You know, the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus called Him as another helper. And Jesus saw Himself as a helper. And what did He help us? It's to see the heart of Father God. Like, our Father is so loving to the point that He gave His Son. And so Jesus came to talk about His Father. But Jesus talks about another helper, that is the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, His name is Parakletos, but what it means is the one that comes alongside of us. So you see, when it comes to doing life, you're not called to do life alone. You're called to do life in Him. And it says in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to you, to your remembrance, all that I have said to you. Pretty cool, right? The Helper will walk with you and will teach you, will remind you what I've said, and will help you to fulfill the will of the Father. It's like what it means on a daily basis is to ask God, hey, what do you think about this situation? What do you think about how I should respond to what came out of this person's mouth or this behavior? What do you think? What do you think I should do about that, right? It's like we understand that principle because we do have a relationship with our phone. And we have a question, you go, you Google it. Or now, you even have a bigger friend is GPT, AI. Wow, he's got more answers. And so what we do, and I know that you do it too, is you have a relationship with your phone. For example, someone asks you, what's the weather? Wait a minute. What is the, who won last night? Who is playing for the Super Bowl? I don't have a clue, but let's say I'm going to Google. I look very smart with Google. Or would chat even smarter. Unreal. But I have a relationship with my phone, and you do. It's the same thing when it comes to the Holy Spirit. A relationship with Him, realizing that He wants to walk with me. I'll give you an example here. We went to the city. I had a doctor appointment this week. And so I asked my wife where she would want to go. She wants to go to this, where they sell kids' clothes. And it's just closer to, it's across the Home Depot. And so, as I know, to some degree, I said, I'll drop you off. And then I'll go to Home Depot. Then I go to Home Depot, I look at everything I wanted to look at. It's a big store. Like, it's huge, right? Walk, 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 walk. And I'm expecting a call. No, she's still in that little store. And so I go and I park myself before Hotchkotch or something store. I'm parked there. I'm waiting. I'm going on my phone. I looked everything I wanted to look at. I'm done. So then I feel like, man, she's still in there. So I said, okay, I'm going to go across the other road and see another store. And then she'll come out and look for me and say, where's Claude? And she's going to call me. I go over there and she's still is in that store. So then I park myself and I have this debate in my heart. How will I treat her when she's going to come out? When she's going to come out with her little bags all happy? Will I just not look at what she bought and give her the cold shoulder? And making sure that she knows that I'm unhappy? Will I blurb out and say, well, it's blah, 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 blah? Or will I say, God, what do you think I should do? And I didn't pass it fully. I kind of failed, but I think I did. I didn't fail. I did not fail. Not bad, eh? And so my thought was, how will I respond, right? And I look at how I used to respond, and I probably would have ruined my trip. You know, even the thought, let's go home now. What's the point of being here? Like, impatient arises in me. It's like kind of a, like, it bubbles. And I have the choice to say flesh or spirit. So then I say, what are you saying, God? And God reminds me, do this, do that. It's simple. It's not mystical. I don't have to find a trance. It's a process of who you want to lead in your life. And we can all do that. But sometimes we forget. We just react. We respond based on how we always did. And we forget that we were given a comforter. As much as we ask this phone on information, what we need, we should ask Him, hey, how should I respond to this situation? How am I called to respond when this person has said this, this behavior, blah, 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 instead of just doing. Walking in the Spirit and walking in step with the Spirit is to do that. And everybody can do that, right? And the reality is that there's no instant result. None of us are perfect. And that's why we find 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in us. And what I'm trying to say is that that's why we repent. And He's talking to the church. When I hear people say, I haven't sinned for the last decade, or I haven't sinned for the last 5 years, or the last 2 weeks, I'm saying, should read this. Or maybe you should ask people around you what they think about you not sinning, right? But the aspect of thinking that we can be above, we can't. We need daily dependence on God. And we need to embrace apologizing. Did you get this? We need to embrace apologizing and repentance because it frees us when we do that, right? And so when we look at the Paraclete, it's that He wants to walk with us, and we want to see that in our lives. Thirdly, Living by the Spirit is when we expect life to look different with Him. It's going to look different because the ways of the world in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 looks like this. For everyone in the world, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father but from the world. And so when you want to be led by the Spirit, it's going to look differently. We look, if we break this apart, the craving in the sinful man is like try to satisfy the flesh. It's like, you know, we go on Amazon, we don't even know what to buy, but we scroll down just to see what will pick our curiosity. Oh, then finally you're going to buy, but you didn't ever need it. This is the world we live in. We consume, and we have highs when we buy. And so what God is saying here, there's a way of living that is different. We look at the lust of the eyes. We look at technology right now, and Josie was talking about it with the Contra series, the level of people that are caught in pornography. Lust of the eyes, it's so available, right? But the work of the Holy Spirit comes and reminds you, oh, this is not the way to go, and then causes you to repent and connect with people and walk in humility and also in transparency with other people. So from there, we can walk in freedom. And it also talks about the boasting of what he has and does. That is a strong focus on pride. Look what I've achieved. Look at me. And that doesn't come from the Father. So when it comes to live in the Spirit, it's going to look differently. And so if you know it's going to look differently, you prepare yourself, hey, I'm going to live differently, because the Bible says that we are strangers, we're aliens, we're not of this world. We're not UFOs, okay? But we're not from here. Our home is not here. We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims. Peter will say, like, we're a vapor, we're just passing by. And we know how life goes fast, right? And so we need to expect that life will look differently. Number four, living in the Spirit is to understand His mission, to lead us in truth and love, meaning there's going to be transformation. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So that's why you don't get discouraged. You just move forward. You learn one step at a time. Chuck Swindoll, I remember reading this a long time ago. He says the Christian walk is like two steps forward and one step backward. And I think it's like that. So you're not gonna be afraid of taking two steps, knowing you're going to take step one back. That's the reality of life, but you're going forward. And I like what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your act of worship, your spiritual act of worship. But look what he says in verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be condemned. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, inviting God in your life, God, and having this dialogue with God. What do you want me to do, God? What's your will? It's not mystical. It's a change of mindset. Then it says you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. So I really believe, as I close this morning, I really believe that God wants to lead us in our daily life. Like I said, it's not weird. I look at Paul and John, they were going to pray at the temple. And as their goal was to come to church, let's say. And as they are going somewhere, they stopped at this door called Beautiful, and there was this lame guy that was begging, and they said, we have no silver, we don't have any gold, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Like, it was part of the journey, just doing life. In responding to the call of God. Like, it's not like the game we used to play when we were young. It's hot or cold. Remember playing this game? You hide something and then someone is looking, oh, going in that direction. No, you're cold. It's icy. Did you get that? I said it was cold. Go the other way. That goes on the other way. You're hot. You're boiling. Like, it's not robotic. We're not called to be robots. You do life. You do life, but you're aware that the Spirit is with you. And so you're aware that the Spirit will do things differently. You're aware that He will empower you and journey along, because He's the comforter, right? And so even when we look at the written word, the Gospel of Luke is more complicated than the Gospel of Mark. Why? Because Luke was a doctor. Luke didn't stop being a doctor when he wrote his letter. God flows through people. We're not robotic. We're just normal, but we are aware of the reality of God in our lives. And so we open our ears and we open our heart to what He wants to say and what He wants to do. And that changes everything. I believe what the Spirit wants to do, He wants to remind us the word of Jesus, like in John 14, 26 that I said a while ago. He wants to prompt us to do His will. I look in Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chair and stay next to it. He didn't know what was coming next, but then this guy said, can you explain me the scripture? And this guy went back to Ethiopia, and he was the forerunner of the church of Ethiopia. What an amazing story. In 2 Timothy verse 1, it says, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear but timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. He wants to empower us to make a difference. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power. It's not going to be you. It's going to be me in you. He wants to protect us as we're making decision-making. I don't have a lot of time to do this. But I remember one day, I bought a van. We were early married. I bought a van. We said yes to a van. And I'm having this dream. In my van, I have this guy, a mechanic. He has a towel around his shoulder, and he's just looking at the van. He looks at me in my dream. Don't buy this. It's a mistake for you to buy it. You can't afford it. It's not a good idea. I woke up, and I knew that God spoke to me not to buy it. Went back to the dealership. It says, not for today. And then we went back home. But you see, God talks this way. And you know when it's a pizza dream. And you know when He speaks to you, because there's a conviction in your heart. So He protects us in our decision making. And He wants me to reflect a new kingdom. Look, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, principle of a new kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are principle of His kingdom. See, I look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because look what it says, how powerful it is. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by man, meaning that He makes a difference. So I'm saying, God, I want to be led by Your Spirit, right? I just want you to know, as I wrap up, my heart for you guys, to you guys, I want you to realize and believe that living in the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit is for all, for you, all of us. And some of you don't think it's for you. You're not good enough, you know. It's for you. We got some this morning that you feel bankrupt. Not because you don't love God when it comes bankrupt in your relationship with God. Not because you don't love God, but because you're running on empty. And God wants you to connect with them. If I would ask you this morning, how many of you would like to live in the Spirit? I would say the majority would say yes, right? And you can say, yes, God, help me to walk in the Spirit. I would ask you to stand. With all the eyes closed this morning, maybe you've been here for a while, but you're not really engaging. Or you're here maybe because a family, or I don't know, whatever reason, but you've never said yes to God. You never got wet. Like, you hear about it, you say, but you never got wet. You know how it works, but you never got wet. And you're spiritually bankrupt. That's you this morning, and you want to say to God, I want to see this change in my life. I want you to raise up your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Give you another moment. You know, you've been raised in the church, maybe. Yes, thank you. You've been raised in the church, but man, you're spiritual bankrupt. You know about it, but you're not living it. Thank you. Someone else? Yes? Yes. Father God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you that we can experience you. I thank you that you are forgiven God, and you are God that rescues us. And so what we say to you, God, is that we need you. We apologize and we repent of living life on our own and putting you on the side. I want you in the boat. I want you in the car. I want you to be beside me. Be the paraclete that I need. my helper. Help me, Lord, to focus on you. Help me as I use Google. Help me to rely on you to do life. God, help me to set some time apart for you. That you invite us. You don't condemn us. You want to be with me. You want to be with each person here. I just pray that we would not get caught with all the distractions and that we would submit to the spiritual battle that tries to hold us back of connecting. Father, I just pray that we would all connect and that we would expect you to lead us and speak to us and that we would know and believe that how we're called to live, it will be different from the world. But the fruits are amazing. Fruits are amazing. So Father, let's pray for a blessing on your people. In Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. If you need prayer, we got a prayer room. People would be willing to agree in a prayer with you, all right?
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.